1 Samuel chapter 16, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to show you something here. Then we'll be going to the New Testament. We'll go a couple of places, stop by in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and then we'll be going, to the New Testament. But I want to welcome each one of you at God's house here tonight. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate each one of you. And you're so kind to be here. And we just pray that God will really do something for us tonight.
Amen.
We pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will have free reign to search the hearts of each and every one of us here tonight. That's our heart's desire. That's what our prayer is tonight, is that God will have free reign to do exactly whatever He wants to do here tonight. I want to ask you a question first. I want you to think about this. If tonight, if each person here, if God took your thoughts that's going through your mind and put them on a screen and just made it visible for the world to see, I wonder what would be on your screen. I wonder what would be on my screen. I wonder, and so tonight, with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to try tonight to be able to preach something that I pray that Paul said to examine yourselves. I want to show you something in 1 Samuel chapter 16. God bless you, Brother Gross, and each one of the pastors here and the preachers and the human beings here. Amen. I appreciate each one of you being here. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jabbo's boss. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. And each one of you here, I want to show you something. I want you to read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You've heard the old saying is, you can't judge a book by its cover. Just by looking at the cover of a book, you can't never tell nothing about that book. Now, I'm sure tonight as you come in here and you looked at this mannequin here and you wonder what was going on, you've got to judge and trying to judge what in the world is going on here. Well, don't you judge her just yet. You might be judging yourself. I want to show you something in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and in verse 7. The young preacher, the young singer here last night, this is the verse he kept talking about. It said in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Us Baptists has the worst thing in the world of looking about the way somebody dresses and we automatically judge them. Is that right? A lot of times you look at somebody, they look pretty good, and you think, man, they got to be decent, they got to be saved, and all of these things. That Lacey Peterson, the one that Scott Peterson killed, I'm sure that, you know, he's a nice-looking man on the outside. But on the inside, he was wicked. He's wicked and ungodly. Is that right? Demon-possessed man. So just looking on the outward appearance, you can't never tell what's on the heart on the inside. Is that right? Now I want you to look at Psalms 118, just one verse, and we're going to skip on to the book of Philippians, please. Psalms 118, if you would, please. Psalms 118. And if you've ever marked a verse in your life, you sure better mark this verse down. This is what David said. David said in Psalms 118 and Psalms 118 and in verse 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Do you see that? He said, I'm telling you the truth. You better trust in the Lord. You better not trust nobody. A lot of you here tonight has been hurt, even in the church work, by people that you loved and by people that you trusted. Is that right? While we're here in the book of Psalms, let me show you something real quick, what I'm talking about. Look at Psalms 56. Psalms 56. I'll just flip over there real fast. Look at here what happened to David and what David was talking about in Psalms 56. Psalms 55, I'm sorry, and in verse 12. He said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, did himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, somebody that was my guide. He said, somebody that was my guide and somebody that was my acquaintance. He said, we took sweet counsel and we walked in the house of God in company. David said it was somebody that I took counsel from. Somebody that was my guide, and we went to the house of God together, and he deceived me and he betrayed me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had somebody that you loved and you trusted so much, and boy, they just stabbed you right in the back? Huh? That's what David was going through. Then later on in that Psalms 118, he said, I'm telling you what you better do. You better put your trust in the Lord. Is that right? Now look what Paul said in Philippians 3:3, please. Philippians 3:3. One verse, and then we're going to turn to First Timothy, please. Philippians 3:3, if you would, please. Philippians 3:3. Here's what Paul says. He said, for we are of the circumcision. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's preacher flesh. That's singer flesh. That's deacon flesh. That's my flesh. That's your flesh. That's anybody's flesh. You don't trust nobody but the Lord. Is that right? You do not put your trust in man. Paul said we put no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. We look at the Lord. I want to tell every one of you something here tonight. I don't care what your position in life is. I want to look you in your God-given eyeballs and I tell you, I do not trust you. I do not trust not one of you. But can I tell you something even better than that? I don't trust myself. Is that right? You know why? Because we're made of the same dirty, rotten, stinking thing. We're made of flesh, and don't you trust this stuff. Is that right? You don't trust this flesh. I was telling my brother Ray Sunday morning over there that you can resist temptation pretty good until you got the opportunity. But you get the temptation, the opportunity together, this flesh will fail you. Is that right? And you'll be in a whale of trouble. Is that right? Now I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Thank you so much. While we're talking about all the stuff, we're talking about all the stuff and about not putting no confidence in people and in folk that you see, how you better not trust nobody. Have you noticed lately, Brother Gross, have you noticed lately all the things that are going on in the church that people put confidence in? That BTK killer out there in Kansas City for 30 years have been raping and killing women at night. And he was the president of his Sunday school class. He was the sound man in the church. Have you noticed that? And I heard a lot of people said, we had confidence in him. You hear what I'm telling you? That Bible declares you put no confidence in the flesh. It'll let you down. Is that right? The man they call the son of Sam was a member of a friend of mine's church in Murfreesboro. At that time, he was in Louisville, Kentucky. Beth Haven Baptist Church. Dr. Tom Wallace had a man in his church that was a soul winner. Said he won a gobs of people to church and led them on the school bus. And he baptized them himself. But you know who he turned out to be? They called him the son of Sam because he was in a military station at Fort Knox there. And he'd go out at night on Lover's Lane and kill people. And his name is David Berkowitz. But he was wrapped up in the church. People said the same thing. Oh, I had confidence in David. We just had a preacher in our town. We just had a preacher in our town, my brother, that was going with an old girl. And he wanted to leave his church and act like he was dead and act like he was dead. He hired a care worker to come to the church to work around the church. Took him up in the basement to show him some stuff that he wanted to do in the church. Took a hammer, knocked him in the head. Took all that man's clothes off of him. stripped him naked, cut his head off, cut the palms of his hand, cut his feet off. And you know what he did? He poured gas on that body, set that church on fire, and he wanted everybody to think that it was him because he'd been preaching on demons. But that way, after he took off on his motorcycle with his girlfriend, some people looked out the window. They got the fire department over there, and they just found that preacher. And everybody's around town saying, "We had confidence in David Terry. We never thought that he would do nothing like that." I'm trying to tell you, you better put your trust in the Lord. You hear what I'm telling you? Is that right? I want you to look at something, if you would, please. I want you to look at something. The Bible said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Boy, if that ain't the Lord's truth. I've never seen so many men love their own stinking self till it's a shame. Is that right? I tell you, I'm in motels and I'm in dormitories all the time with preachers, and I'm trying to tell you the truth. If they prayed as much as they sprayed, amen, there'd be a revival break out in Georgia. Is that right? Love their own self. Think they pretty. Stand there. Is that right? Men used to go to the barbershop, bless God, get a haircut. Not go to the beauty shop, get the hair done. Is that right? Huh? He said they'd be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Well, that's a candle. Oh, God, help us. Blasphemers. Look up here, young people, what it says there. Disobedient to parents. Amen. This right here used to take care of the disobedience. Amen. That was a boy growing up. Yeah. We had a tanning bed back in the 40s. Amen. The umbilical cord and took the baby and put it in the commode tank there at the school in Lafayette, Georgia. What about that? Without natural affection. Without natural affection, our truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of... That's why a lot of folk ain't in revival tonight. Amen. Is that right? That's why they're not there on Sunday night. Is that right? They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here's my text. Having a form of godliness. Having a form... Let me get back to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Get away from them. Having a form of godliness. They imitators. They look like the real thing. All the Judas Iscariots are not dead today. Baptists could win the Academy Awards in Hollywood for being the best pretenders and actors that I've ever seen in my life. Is that right? Now tonight, you might ask about my friend I got up here. And if you don't like her, you need to get on Brother Sam Cravat from up here at Pine Ridge Baptist Church. I had another one I used to use for years when I used to carry him with me like that. And he went to Florida. He was on vacation, had a little pickup there, and he found old Emma in a dress shop. He said the first time he ever seen her, said she had the prettiest green negligee on he ever seen in his life. He said, "I told Sister Chris," he said, "boy, Brother Johnny could sure use that right there." But what he didn't know is he stuck it in the back of his pickup, and a little old six-cylinder Ford coming up Interstate 75 coming out of Florida, and he said he noticed some trucks pulling up behind him. 18-wheelers are blowing the horn. He said, "Honey, we better get up. It looks like a convoy back there." Here come one truck. Whoa. She said, "Sam, what in the world's going on?" He said, "I don't know. They're about to run us off the road." She turned around and looked back, and old Emma's negligee was doing this. So if you don't like it, you got to blame Sam Cravat for that. Amen. see what's wrong with Emma. What's wrong with Emma? She's just got a form of godliness. You see in her hand, she's got a King James Bible. Thank you. got a form. She's got a form, but she don't have no faith. Next thing here in Ephesians chapter 2, same verse I read you last night, verse 19. In Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 19, same verse I read you last night. It said, who being past feeling. This is Emma's problem. First thing, she got a form and she don't have no faith. Next thing is she got a form and she does not have no feeling. And can I tell you something, Brother Ernest? I look at people in the church, and they're like Emma and so many I meet, that their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Nothing bothers them. They don't. Listen, you're having revival here this week, and folks at this church and every church I go to, they don't give a rip. Is that right? They don't give a rip. I mean, they don't. They could care less about what happens at the house of God. Sound to me like a bunch of imitators. Is that right? Emma's got a form, but she don't have no faith. Emma's got a form, but she don't have no feeling. Emma's got a form, but she don't have a father. Emma's got a form, but she don't have no future. Amen. Now, let me give you something. I was at the King Ranch out in Texas, and the pastor carried me out, some of his men at the church worked out on the King Ranch, and they went out there, and they lassoed some steers. He said, Brother Johnny, I want you to watch this as we brand these cows. And I went out there, and they take that hot iron, Brother Ernest, and they would stick that hot iron, and that cow would kick and kick it and try to get out of it, and his legs tied together. And you could smell the flesh. You could smell everything come up from that cow. That old cow was trying to kick, and it was a burning and a dent in those hems as that iron went down on that cow. Friday that week, that preacher said, Brother Johnny, would you like to go out there and see that cattle that we branded this week? I said, yes, I sure would. I'd like to watch those cowboys and see what they do. They went out there and lassoed one of those steers that they done branded there that week, and they tied him and they tied his legs together like in a rodeo there. He spoke with a knife just like this. He handed this knife. He said, Brother Johnny, take it and stick it where we branded the big cave for the King Ranch on his backside there. And I took the knife and I started doing it like this. He said, no. Stick it in there, Brother Johnny. I said, no, man. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt him. Before we hit the first tune of the piano. These people were so nice to me tonight. These people are not wine heads. They're not strippers. They're not porn people. They're not dope men. These people wanted to have a little part in this tonight. And there's other people out through the congregation here tonight that's got some stuff that I just felt it was just time to cut it off. But I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen to me real close. You better pray tonight. The Bible said in John 1:9, John chapter 1, verse 9, that Jesus Christ puts a light into every man that comes into this world. And you don't never know when God's going to blow that light out. Tonight He could go and blow your light out. And He'd still be a holy and righteous God to let you go to hell. He's give you every opportunity to be saved. And tonight this message is for you that are just playing and pretending church. And there's some people here that knows it as well as you know your name. You've been the imitator. You're kin to the Tater family. You've been imitating. Some of you young people are acting like you're right with God. You're acting like you're so holy. I have a young girl in here tonight. I didn't use her, and I don't want her to be offended at me. But what we got one of the Dogwood Valley singers here from Dogwood Church here in town with the young people. And I give her the cassette tape from the Dogwood, from that youth choir there. I was supposed to take it tonight and give it back there to the sound man and let him play part of it. And you know what a lot of teens is doing to fool their parents? They're taking the gospel music and they're taping that old trash on their Snoop Dogg and Eminem. Boy, they named him right, Dog. Amen. They named him right. Amen. Amen. The parents are not watching what's going on. The majority of churches that I'm having to go to, they got to take the cell phones away from the kids of the church, because while they're in the church, they're sending text messages to each other all over the church while they're up in the choir and everything. And you know what you're doing? You got a form of godliness. And you might be able to hide something from pastor. You might be able to hide something from your mama. You might be able to hide something from your daddy. But there's one here tonight, the Holy Ghost, that is searching the heart and trying to tell you, you better listen to that preacher. He's telling you the truth. Don't you be no imitator. So you say, Brother John, as I sit here tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm washed in the blood. I'd like every child of God, will you signify by an uplifted hand? Amen. Isn't that good? I know that I'm saved. Boy, that's good. I know that I'm born again. Yeah. Glory to God. Some of you are so happy you're shaking your hands and you're having a good time because, amen, you're not an imitator. Yeah. Boy, you put them down now. You say, Brother John, as I sit here tonight, I'm just exactly like that right up the road here. Right up the road here at another church that I was at. Not very far, maybe 10, 12 miles from here. Lady got up one night and said, Brother Johnny, I am the imitator. I am the imitator. You might be the imitator here tonight. You might be the very one. Young boy, while I come back, Brother Gross found out. After the imitator, he stood up and said, I'm the imitator. I'm 17 years old, and I'm fixing to go to Hiles Anderson College. My daddy's already got my brother enrolled there, and I'm fixing to go down there. But he said, Brother Johnny, I'm not really saved. I've been messing with my sister since she was 6 years old. You say, impossible. You don't know what you're talking about. You just say you trust the flesh, don't you? You better not trust that rotten, dirty, stinking stuff. You say, Brother Johnny, tonight, as I sit here tonight, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Brother Johnny, pray for me. Would there be one? God bless you. God bless you. Brother, help me. Pastor, Brother Gross, help me keep count. One precious hand's gone up. Somebody else say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. Pray for me, Brother Johnny. I'm the imitator. Brother Johnny, I'm the imitator. Thank you so much for that precious hand. Now here you are. You're saved. You're born again. You're washed in the blood. But you walk with Christ. You've been coming to church. You dress right. You look right. You smell right. You give money in the offering. You go to youth camps. You go to revivals. You go to camp meetings. But on the inside, you're as miserable. And it wouldn't take but one wink from a boy to pull you out. Just nothing for a girl to take to pull you out. Because you're going to trust that stinking, rotten, dirty flesh. Say, Brother Johnny, tonight I've got to have help tonight. raise your hand. We're going to stand. Our brother's got a song to you that raised your hand for salvation. I bid you, if somebody's standing beside you, tap them. They'll be glad to move and let you out. You just come on tonight. Let's get it settled. Miss Hell, make heaven tonight. Let's stand, please.
141.
Come on. Don't be an imitator.
Search me, oh God.
Search me, oh God. Tonight revealed to you and said, you know, you're hiding some things. You're saying things you used to never say. You're watching things you never used to watch. Come on. Come on. Somebody pray with this young lady. Somebody pray with this young lady. Young man. Young man, come on. Come on. The Holy Ghost dealt with you tonight. He let you know and see your need. Tonight you need to come.
Come on.